Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
This is Dan Aykroyd, happy to be on Nerdy Show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. And this is Cap, and I am actually a man on the street right now. I'm in downtown Orlando, and I'm headed to the Ghostbusters Firehouse, where the Central Florida Ghostbusters are camped out. I see Doug right there. You know Doug. He works with Nerdy Show. He's one of the hosts on Nerdy Show. Hey, Doug.
Yo, what's up? How's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. I'm glad to finally be getting this interview, and we're going to be talking to the Central Florida Ghostbusters, finally, the guys who've saved the world at least once.
Yeah, the details are they're still forthcoming. It's there's a little bit of a statute of limitations of what we're allowed to talk about, but we will say, yeah, you guys have read the papers. You know, it's at least once here in Central Florida, so...
In a big, scary kind of pyramid out of nowhere sort of way.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the guys are inside. We're ready to talk to you. I'm excited. I'm glad this is finally happening. It's been a long time. So.
Yeah. So this is a very unconventional episode of Nerdy Show. You guys have suggested some Microsoft topics that have been sort of spooky. So we've got four of them we're going to do. We're going to talk some spooky Microsodes with the Central Florida Ghostbusters and also interview them. So this is going to be a two-part Halloween special. And here we go. We're walking up to the firehouse now.
Perfect to do it now because things get really busy in October. That's always the busiest time of the year.
Really?
Well, it's also because there's a lot of hoaxes at the time. A lot of people on Halloween, close to Halloween, they think they're seeing things that are just people dressed up, but typically there is also a higher rate of, they'll explain why there's actually a higher rate of psychokinetic energy, but anyway, hey guys.
I should mention, Doug is the general manager for Central Florida Ghostbusters. I completely forgot to mention that.
Well, I've been general manager. They only brought me on recently. Before that, they were kind of doing it on their own, but after, saving the world, they were my friends beforehand, so after saving the world and everything was going crazy, they needed someone to help out around the firehouse, so thankfully I was free, so I was able to help out.
They're playing the new Turtles game Out of the Shadows.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of a little bit distracted, but yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. You guys ready to go? Cap's here.
Briggs is just going to get us through it anyway.
Today was a little slow, so I don't want anyone getting the wrong impression that these guys are lazy. But, they actually do work very hard when the time comes.
Lazy. You're very lazy.
Especially Mike.
I guess we'll head into the kitchen, and I guess we can conduct an interview in here.
Yeah, sure.
You actually had a kind of unfortunate timing because Nina was supposed to be here, but she actually is walking Tobin at the moment. She should be back in a few minutes, but we'll see if she can make it back in time.
Tobin's the ghost dog I've been hearing about.
He's not a ghost, but he is a ghost dog. He does hunt ghosts.
What the hell does that mean?
He bites ghosts.
Dogs generally are pretty good at sensing basically occult-related things. It's well documented. But all it is in this case is if you bring a dog with the Ghostbusters, he's going to help you out. I mean, that's really... It's like why firemen have dogs.
Yeah,
why not? Or why cops have dogs, even.
No. There's an entirely different reason for that.
Although, I will say he is a significantly bigger contributor to our team than some of our actual human members.
That's not true at all.
Look, he listens a lot better.
He's very good at listening.
He's a team player.
Look, when you have to say who it is, he just automatically speaks up to defend himself.
Look, I'm just saying, if you would have let me hook up my proton pack to that power supply, it would have worked.
Would have worked?
some introductions are definitely in order. Mm-hmm. I guess in clockwise for myself and Doug.
Everyone already knows me, but sitting in, to my left is...
LaForge.
Poole.
Wall.
Briggs.
And that's the Ghostbusters. Not the entire team that saved Central Florida, perhaps the world, last year. You guys had another member, Bjornstad.
Yeah. He's in semi-retirement.
He died.
No, he did not die. I assure you he's still alive. He's very happy with his new lady friend.
He went out on bad terms with Briggs, so he's dead to him.
And that he got lucky.
Hey, look, I brought something great from Europe. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm really glad to be finally talking with you guys. I mean, like, local celebrities that you guys know how long I've been trying to get this interview.
Yeah.
So,
we couldn't be bothered.
Thank you, Briggs. I appreciate your candor.
But in all seriousness, things have been very busy.
That's why we couldn't be bothered.
Doug was telling me that there is actually a rush around Halloween. You know, like, obviously it's a spooky holiday, there's the solstice and all that, but I'm surprised to hear that it actually does, in fact, sync up with ghost activity.
Well, I think a lot of it is also, sure, we have lots of people messing with us and calling in prank calls and stuff, but, you know, we have a great reputation, public relations and stuff, that, it, you know, the one time we don't respond to someone calling saying that they just got scared by a monster and it turns out it's a class 7 world bender. And we're just like, it's your husband.
Well, it's also hard to tell, like, when a call comes in, it's hard to tell when something is just a hoax or someone's just drunk or if it is a legit problem, and that's why...
all three.
Yeah, or all three at the exact same time. So there's been a lot of times where you guys would have to go out and it's just a complete hoax.
Well, there's that alligator. The dog.
That one in Titusville?
Yeah, one in Titusville.
Yeah.
That alligator didn't happen on Halloween, and it wasn't a hoax.
Well, you know.
It was a real alligator. It wasn't a ghost, but I was just confused.
Well, whatever.
The point is that, yeah, in general, there's a lot of hoaxes, and there's also psychokinetic activity, but in Halloween, both go up from people who think
they're
seeing
bored.
Things. Yeah. Halloween,
we don't get to Halloween parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, ghosts, from what I understand, aren't dead people anyway. It's just psychokinetic energy, and when everybody is kind of turning into the occult, you know, even faking it for Halloween, it has an effect.
Mm-hmm. So idiot college kids with Ouija boards will sometimes set off accidental psychokinetic reactions that manifest themselves?
They're generally our first indicators. They think they're just doing it to each other and it's fake. That's one of our best warning signals.
I would say that with things like Ouija boards and stuff, we're safe to say how we really feel about fake science and fake ghost hunters. There's a lot of BS like that.
What was that? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I thought I heard something over there.
Well, the sad thing is...
photographic orbs.
Yeah, but and all that can be BS, but the sad thing is that sometimes that can trigger something that's already underlined that otherwise would not have been triggered.
Right. I went out with some people photographing orbs once in college. It was the dumbest shit of all time. The best part was Mike from Nerdy Show found a headstone shaped like a small motorcycle and rode it for a little bit.
Well, there we go. Worth the trip.
Yeah, it's like when you get reflections of dust in your lens, it's really not quite the same as seeing a full torso free-roaming vapor.
It's like a beautiful snowflake, but yeah, I can see how it would be different.
I mean, our experience with seeing what we, you know, see versus...
like spectral tigers.
Like spectral tigers, yes.
Like that, yeah.
Except
it was he who will not be named.
We don't talk about him.
We don't say his name.
I mean, we got him locked up in the containment unit.
Wait, hold on a sec. Nerdy Show also has a ghost that we typically don't name. It's been a while since we had any problems with it, though. I'm curious if it was the same thing.
I would hazard to say no.
Yeah, this guy, we don't say his name three times.
He looked.
don't even give a hint, because if somebody figures it out...
There's a lot of ghosts...
Does it rhyme with Dukabus?
No.
Dukabus?
No.
No.
Because
if someone figures it out, it's a whole world of hurt.
Well, think about it this way. There's three very famous ghosts that follow that criteria. So it's one of them. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's a good way.
Our problem typically leads to a kind of jinx, but the thing is that the member of Nerdy Show that actually has a history with this spirit is now dead, actually dead, so we don't really know what's the situation with that anymore. This was actually before you guys came into town, so... and it's never been anything that we'd call in to bust. Exactly.
I was gonna say, well, here's our business card.
Yeah. You guys went to Europe recently.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of details have come out about what exactly went on over there.
Yeah.
We saw some stuff.
I mean,
some stuff that I didn't think will
be mentioned ever again.
We'll just say that congratulations are in order for Briggs.
In all seriousness, yes, congratulations are in order for Briggs.
Yeah. I'm going to kill all of you.
a genuine congratulations for how things wound up for you.
Oh, well, I mean, that, yes. I mean, that
was I was intentionally saying that to ribbit him, but, yes.
Yeah, you know, we came, we saw...
We went to Germany and saw a bunch of dirty alleyways. We didn't try anything else cool in Germany. France, we went to Paris, and then we were involved a little bit in the sewer, so that was wonderful.
I can say we did have some pretty good gourmet food while we were in Paris.
We did, we did.
I'm just going to say that I'm a werewolf buddy now, which I didn't think I'd ever say. You know, we were friends.
That's true.
They've mortal enemies up until this point.
Yeah. Okay. It turned out pretty all right.
Oh, that's another... situation that I have some knowledge about. Nerdy Show's had werewolf problems way more than we've had ghost problems. Now, I didn't think that was anything you guys would deal in.
Yeah, neither.
That's possible.
Turned out they were all related.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, okay, so wow. Again, before you guys came onto the scene, so nothing I would have called you guys about, but it's definitely... the jury's still out on if this is ever going to come back to haunt us, so I maybe in the future. So you guys are in the werewolf busting business now.
I think the problem is that they're
Do you think it's a misconception that werewolves are even a separate entity other than something?
I don't know for sure, because in my studies of the occult, when we encountered the original werewolves, we tried looking up everything we could, contacting the...
Living relative of Van Helsing.
Yeah, the living relative of Van Helsing and contacting the New York Ghostbusters. And it seems like lycanthropy jumps around from being a medical condition to being a possession to being a curse to being a disease. So it's hard to nail that down. Maybe there's more than one cause of lycanthropy.
There are many subtle levels.
We're in the werewolf friending business.
Friending. There we go.
Yeah. Because before we became a Ghostbuster, I understood lycanthropy as being a man just goes insane. Like, you know, there's well-documented cases about
takes
people.
Off his clothes.
Well, most of the stuff in history probably is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, You know, very rarely would it actually probably be something psychokinetic related.
Are you guys familiar with the website wolfdads.org?
No.
Well,
you had Josh's attention.
Is that like bearuncles.com?
I'm not familiar with it. It sounds like it might be similar. It's a place for werewolves, older gentlemen werewolves, to meet young cubs, as they call them, like unindoctrinated would-be werewolf, nubile young werewolf children.
We just tell.
I think that may be an entirely different problem.
Yeah,
that may be a problem. Police.
You would be surprised. It seems like it's a little bit of both, and we've had some trouble with. I guess one of the chairmen of that website, hopefully dead on the front of a car. But
tell us how you really feel.
Baby Cakes, from what I remember, said that wolf men don't need wolf ladies to make wolf boys.
Have you just quoted China, Illinois?
I'm just joking. I literally know nothing about how werewolves.
I hear cat people run like the wind.
Yeah,
and also screw like the wind.
They definitely do. I've encountered cat people. Werewolves.
Well, I mean, I'm good at hitting things, dog-like creatures in my car.
That's true. Yeah.
That's a very sad thing to say.
When you say I'm good at hitting dog-like creatures with my car. Anyone who doesn't know what you're talking about just thinks you're talking about dogs.
Should the SPCA be contacted about you guys' dog? What do you say here?
We got a license.
Yeah, we have a
working dog.
No, we dogs with your car?
No. He's talking about Tobin. He is licensed as a work dog.
Yeah.
Plus, so it's okay to hit him with a car.
No.
It's not okay to hit anybody with a car.
Well, no.
Except for the guy who runs Wolf Dads.
There
we go. You brought it back full circle. We're back on track. Yeah.
Okay, now how much are we getting paid for it?
We'll see. If I have any other problems, you guys will be the first I call, because honestly, we're not prepared to deal with this shit again. Some things got very, very serious for us in the past.
We stumbled our way through it decently.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys, I guess you're not going into the full detail about Europe.
The problem is that a lot of it's caught up in international politics for reasons we can't really go into.
I mean, there's speculations about things involving... I mean, obviously, you're the Central Florida Ghostbusters, and you pulled up roots and I assume we're busting ghosts or at least werewolves, over in Europe, and typically that's what the international Ghostbusters do.
Yes, typically it is.
It is, yeah.
Typically it is.
Those guys needed some help.
Yeah.
And us being there...
The problem is, I don't know if us talking about it, like, violates any treaty that, like, you shouldn't do this. Because we're not allowed... Like, if in America... If we're involved in a criminal investigation, we can't talk about it because it could ruin the case, right? But, like, what if us talking about it here ruins the case over there? Are we liable? Like, I have no idea.
Okay, so best not to just say.
Yeah, for now, because I'm sure it'll all come out.
Well, then here's another hot button issue I was wondering if you guys can comment on. There's a rumor going around that you guys busted the ghost of Mr. Richard from Mr. Richard's Land of Imagination.
Yeah. I mean...
Yes, you did?
We did have a job at that studio, but...
We don't know that it was... His ghost,
per se.
Not really. We never really know that for sure, though.
Really, it's client confidentiality. We can't speak too much about that.
We don't know if there was a ghost, really. We all saw some stuff, and it may or may not have been.
It could have been related or unrelated, is what you're saying?
It could have been related or unrelated, and it could or could not have happened at a place.
Or to us.
Yeah. It was all a dream.
It was a lot like Vietnam. We saw some things, man.
Okay.
All right. It's a lot like Vietnam.
Even so Mr. Richards.
That's not how I do or do not remember
that's
it.
That's ever been said.
Who, if I remember correctly, served in Vietnam. So, I don't know if that relates at all. But
and there we go.
One of the things that I want to do with you guys, I'm sure Doug probably told you, is our listeners have the ability to request us to do microsodes, which is 15-minute conversations about a variety of topics. And we selected four... sort of spooky kind of subjects to discuss with you guys to release for Halloween. And the first one is discussing the SCP Foundation.
Those guys.
Our listener Mauron requested it and said, thanks again for the large Hadron Collider microsode. After fishing for ideas on the forums, a microsode following the SCP Foundation would be great. We did a large Hadron Collider episode, talked about a little bit about Dr. Spangler's work with the boson colliders and all that stuff.
Important work.
Yeah, well, that obviously. So SCP Foundation, it's a website cataloging a lot of otherworldly paranormal creatures presumed to be false, but you guys are Ghostbusters, so I was wondering, is any of that above board? Is any of that real?
I don't think so. I read it as entertainment.
I mean... There are a lot of things we encounter that if somebody was interested in, they could, you know, submit to this and as part of the entertainment properties. But,
mm-hmm. But I think like they have containment.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think
like any of that's real.
Our containment procedure has two steps.
But I don't know. It's fun. It was fun to read. There's a couple that are pretty creepy still reading them, but I think that...
So all you guys are familiar with it and have read the website?
Yeah. Not 2,000 off the top of my head, but I have... Yeah, definitely flipped through.
We have the human book for that. The Forge.
Apparently that's your...
I'm the human book. Right. Well, we know a Mr. Book. You just called me a human book.
Well, LaForge's a human book. What are some of your favorite... SCP creatures.
Well, now that I don't want to say that one of them's a book. actually, well, the book has anomalous properties, but it's not really a creature. It's a book that's written purely in blood that's not finished, and it chronicles the history of the Devas, which is a fictional race of human-like people that enslaved all of humanity. And right before you get to the part where...
Scientologists?
No. Fictional. They're like thetans. they enslave humanity, but right before where you get to it ends, humanity kind of finds a way to overthrow them. But the problem is, if you spill blood around it, you add to the book, and they find a new way around it until it's finished writing.
Huh.
So,
it's like, so every time, like, blood gets spilled onto a page, it soaks it up, and then words pop up.
Yeah, and then
it's like, whatever.
But the thing is, people go back to archaeological sites that have already been dug after things have been added to the book, and they find new artifacts that support
the
new continuity of this book, saying that it actually, like, kind of saying that it did really happen, but humanity keeps winning. Well, the problem is it's
closer and closer to modern day.
Closer and closer to present day. And they found it when a historian... It was completely exsanguinated in his house with both wrists slit, no blood whatsoever in his body, with a note that just said, "I'm sorry, I had to know."
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, it's a really good one.
And
yeah,
he made bad stuff happen for how many years then? Like, by pouring your entire bloodstream onto a page? Like,
I don't know. Well, I think you can argue that none of it has happened. But if it reaches present day, it'll start to.
Right.
Like, they will have always existed.
Right.
Because they just put it in a locker and then through, like, it's a safe safe artifact.
It's eerie to me hearing you as someone who deals with the paranormal professionally talking about something from SCP, which sounds like a serious fucking problem were it real.
But it's not.
But it's not
real.
But I don't know. You're so good at talking about this sort of thing that I'm hearing you talking about, like, oh my god,
that would be
there are archaeological sites that they found that guy with no blood.
No, there's no reference to that ever actually happening. So, thankfully, I mean, that's what most occult. You study the occult. It's basically looking for what isn't bullshit. That's all. That's all the occult.
That's a good way of putting it.
You should probably get that on the cover of a book about the occult.
Occult. Looking for what isn't bullshit.
Introduction by Josh LaForge, Ghostbuster Central Florida.
I liked a lot of the objects that they have listed on SCP, where it's talking about, like, the coin that always lands on heads no matter what, and it was melted down afterwards. There's a lot of cool items in there that, like...
Are you familiar with the vending machine?
Yeah. I love the vending machine.
The vending machine is pretty good.
I want one.
For listeners, it's an all black vending machine that distributes random stuff. Some of it's recognizable edible food. Some of it's completely inexplicable from other countries. Or dimensions. Food that just simply doesn't make any sense, and researchers have allegedly eaten it, and nothing's happened.
My three favorite entries for that one are the... So they put in, like, 600 yen, and out comes this little box, like, Samurai Honor Duel Candy. It's a little black samurai and a little red samurai, and when you place them on a table, they animate and fight, and I guess when they did it, the red one just cut the black one in half and vanished, and you pick up a piece of the black one and eat it like it's candy. The other is, like, it does different things. Apparently, it does different things based on whether it's powered on or powered off, plugged in.
And how much money you
put in.
What currency.
Yeah, what currency it is. And I guess someone just put in the dollar slot, they just wrote a note like, I owe you, like, 300 yen, and put it in. And a bag of, I guess, like, Cape Cod popcorn came out. When they opened it, it was empty. And then they put in another 300 yen. And 31 popped kernels of Cape Cod popcorn came rolling out.
I'm surprised it didn't say, you open up the bag and said, I owe you popcorn.
I think it did, actually. I think
it did. Okay, yeah. I was about to say, it's like, that sounded more in tune with what it was going for. Yeah.
It's funny, because every time they say that, like, it seems like it's playing a trick on them. This may suggest sentience. Like,
yeah.
Right.
I kind of like the ones like that one. Like, this, I think it's like 934, or whatever, whichever one it is. But it's definitely not sentient. It's just a giant... machine.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
Put things in,
oh, yeah.
And stuff comes out.
They can't figure out how it works. They've put lots of tests in it.
They've had people crawl into the machine and look and investigate, but it's different every time.
No, that's a different machine.
Are you sure? Are that with the gears and everything?
Yeah. No, that's a different machine.
They did try
with a different setting. Where it's like fine setting.
Yeah. There's only an input box, and when they put a person in there, and selected one to one, it came out as just a different person, same weight.
Yeah. What are, like, some ones that you think are, like, either really funny or, like, really scary?
The funny one is Bugs.
Oh, yeah, Bugs. Yeah,
Bugs.
I mean, that one is a joke. Like, anything that has J on the end of it is a joke.
Yeah, for joke.
Those are the ones that are fictional. The rest of them, you know, are
but the bugs are real.
Yeah, 200 meters, you know, wherever.
For scary, I like the blood pool because it's basically this big... very large area that's just a red pool somewhere up in, I think, Alberta, Canada.
Uh-huh.
And basically what happens is these things, these otherworldly animals come out of it that are similar to ours, like cats and whatnot, but look distinctively alien. And they built this massive, like, multi-tiered wall fortress around it basically to kill them as they come out. And slowly but surely, they start off kind of tame, but it's gotten to the point where they more or less had to abandon the entire facility because the things coming out of it now are just wiping everything out, and they just can't stop it.
Like super animals or whatever?
Basically.
Like super strong monsters or
yeah,
whatever?
Like they had,
they've done like expeditions down into the pool.
They
though,
did,
too.
Yeah. And the entire expedition, I think most of the expedition people died on it.
Pretty sure all of them did.
Yeah, yeah, through like madness and whatnot. And they all
the kaiju are just going to come crawling at
basically, yeah. Yeah, they heard like a roar, you know, in the distance, and they just never heard it, but they just slowly lost their minds. That one was really interesting. And what about the one with the stairs? In the face.
Oh, that one's pretty good, too. It's just like this, you just keep going down a staircase over and over and over, and there seems to be no end of it, but eventually you'll come across a face that will chase you up the stairs.
Yeah. Like Mario 2.
Yeah,
exactly. And there's the other one. What is it like? It's like a cupboard or something, or like a door.
Like a cabinet, right?
A cabinet.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And they have...
There's an Indian.
Yes, there is an Indian.
There's a wardrobe. It leads to an area where there's a fawn. And under a street light.
This one does lead to an area, but
yeah.
It's not a pleasant one.
Yeah. It's got really weird architecture. Like, I don't know, is it like, what do you even call it? Like Euclidean?
I would call it like Silent Hill style.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
There's like that
weird... And there's like banging, like it's all metal and grates and like rusted
yeah.
stuff. And there's like lights with grates around them that are blown. It's just like Silent Hill.
But like, isn't there like this big, like almost like... large, gigantic baby-esque thing that chases.
That's a different one.
That's a different one.
Okay,
yeah.
That one's
a whole.
That
like,
terrifying.
There's a whole series on how they've reached that area, like that alternate dimension.
I will say, I mean, personally, any of the ones that really creep me out are normally children related. It's like there's the one that's just called like the little girl,
mm-hmm.
and she it's just a girl who's in containment somewhere who looks like she's 3 years old, and it. Like, the description is, oh, must have this much room to run
yeah.
around and toys and books or whatever. But whenever they put anybody in the room with her, they interact normally. But within a couple minutes, they just start desperately wanting to hurt her. And they just need to kill this girl. They start going absolutely crazy. And then whenever they reach out towards her, they have a heart attack and die.
That's terrifying.
Any damage that they do to her just heals instantly. And when asked about it, the little girl has no idea what they're talking about. She's just a little girl playing.
No face, right? The one where they keep him a black bag around his face the entire time.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, they don't keep a bag around. You're talking about it's just total darkness in his room.
Total darkness and no cameras in the room. And
if anybody
looks at
knows that they've seen his face, if anybody's seen his face,
he will literally run through a wall. And it's kind of sketchy. You don't, it's not confirmed, but it seems like it implies that it literally rapes you to death.
The origin
something
of
like
that.
If that's what I'm thinking about, that's what they ripped off for Doctor Who, right?
I have no...
For the
it's... There's a different one. The original one, like, the statue in the corner of the room. If you don't...
You have to maintain eye
contact.
If you break eye contact,
yeah.
even by blinking...
It snaps your neck and kills you.
Yeah. Like, instantaneous.
No. The problem is they have to constantly clean its holding chamber because there's, like, feces and blood that just accumulates and they have no idea where it comes from.
The one Briggs is talking about is... I think the origin for that was someone was... fucking around on Google Earth, and they found this guy has this backyard apartment, and on his balcony is just this statue with a face on it, and people are like, hey, this is a really weird looking statue, and people are streaming like stories.
Yeah. I've seen this one.
And
then, it's like the tribal
statue. Yeah, and then Google introduced that technology where they determine, oh, well, if we're driving around doing Google Earth stuff and we get a picture of someone's face, it auto-blurs. So someone went back to find it, and its face was completely blurred out. And they're like, oh, that'd be a really cool story, because its face is blurred out because it knows that if you've seen it, it comes to kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was like that was the inspiration for
the
inspiration.
But
this thing is if anybody sees its face, it's Shy Guy is what they
shy
call it.
Yeah,
Shy Guy.
Yeah,
yeah, Shy Guy.
Yeah,
Mario 2 again.
if anything sees him, he just makes a straight line. Just it break all containment, can't hurt him.
Yeah.
But they have the other SCP, those little two floating eyeballs that they'll bring in with them sometimes, because those things cannot blink.
Yeah,
they're a little sentient, like they have the intelligence of, like a puppy or something.
They look like Teletubby eyeballs.
Yeah, and they can't blink, and they can climb walls and stuff, and they're generally considered peaceful. Like they don't seem to have any malintent.
Uh-huh.
So what they'll do is the janitorial crew will go in there, and those little eyeballs will go and like angrily stare at that thing to keep it in the corner while the janitor does his business, and roll at it afterwards. But I always figured, why can't
you
just
that job, man?
Clean up the shit in the SCP cage.
Blind shit in the thing that will murder
you
if you.
It must pay really well. But I always thought, like, why couldn't you just, like, have one guy stand in the corner and just cover one eye, then the other eye, so one eye is always open instead of having to... Because if you blink both eyes at the same time, you're dead. So why not just blink one eye at a time back and forth
It's hard to do for an extended period of time. It's really hard.
Or why don't they just, move him into a location where they don't have to send a janitor in? Just automatically turn the hose on.
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's a fictional thing. I'm just saying.
Because obviously it makes a better story that way. Cool. But that Wall brings up a good point. I think most of the SCP stuff is just really where it's like.
Oh, and I guess we should have mentioned ages ago. It stands for secure, contain, protect.
Right. Yes, which are the three different, I guess, not classes, but like the way that they interact with these things.
Yeah.
And I always thought this was kind of cool about it. It's basically a reverse meme where, like, they take a random picture and then they write the story behind it.
Right.
So it's just
like these
pictures that appear on the internet, like you said, and then
the
it's
creepy
like,
stuff.
Yeah. Okay, that could be creepy, but even creepier if it means this. And then let's lock it away because that stuff will happen.
Case in point, Slenderman.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, actually. Well, the concept of Slenderman's become just ingrained into the public consciousness these days, and I'm wondering is there any truth to it at all, or is it purely a creation of the internet?
I think something awful is a very powerful force.
I posted in that thread actually.
Ooh. The original.
We have an internet celebrity as well. Florida celebrity.
No, pages and pages in, someone was like, guys, what if we pitch like a movie idea for this? And two posts down was just a poster of Slenderman, and just Slenderman, and the tagline is, "He exists because you thought of him. Try not to think of him."
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I read a creepy SCP the other day. In the SCP, there's this town in Russia that apparently nobody dies in this town. And if you visit there, everybody's super friendly and just like, yeah, or whatever. But if you start letting on that you know that nobody dies, they get super uncomfortable and maybe will try to kill you to keep it a secret. So in like the 20s or whenever, SCP fell abreast of this information and decided to contain the town. Well, the town fought back, like with guns and, but eventually the SCP's resources are infinite, so they basically took control of it. What they found out is there's no children, but every generation or so, they will plan to have children, prepare their homes for children, and then one of them will get pregnant, and then they'll have a kid, raise it to about the age of 8. Then they disappear with the kid into a shed or something, or some secluded area. Something happens. They leave no kid. And when they walk out, they look completely rejuvenated and refreshed. Like, that's kind of creepy on its own way. You know, you can imagine, oh, a blood ritual. Well, except for one day they decide they're all going to break containment. And they, like, stage a war to try to break containment to get free. And they fail after, like, hundreds of SCP Foundation members die. And they interview the guy who led the attack. It's like, what's wrong? And he's like, well, my last daughter, the one that we had, she wasn't really acting normal. And I didn't know why. She was very sad all the time. I thought, maybe it's depression. I don't know. And then one day, when she's 8 years old, she looks up at me and she says, "Why did you do that to me, Daddy?" And he goes, and in that moment, I realized that she looks exactly like my fourth daughter. And then he like broke down in tears and he would stop talking.
Wow.
It's creepy.
Yeah, I generally got a chill.
Which probably take, like, what are some funny, like the really funny ones? Like, well, I talked about the bugs.
The bugs, yeah.
But like, what's God. The other, like, really, the one that's God, yeah, it's funny.
There's the harmless robot that thinks it's like a megalomaniac.
Right.
It's like, I am Shiva the Earth Ender. Like, and anything that it perceives to be conscious, it will try to attack, but it is completely ineffectual. They once put a pot. They once put a plant
with a speaker in it, yes. And someone on the other end was on the microphone, being like,
"Hello,
hey.
I'm a fern." Who dares? It like rolls over to it and tries to twist one of the leaves, but it falls over and the plant falls on it.
There was that. I also love the.
Why hasn't there been an SCP like film? Why haven't
there needs
well, like some of these ideas are so great. I just want to see them committed to video.
Whoever makes the film is going to get barraged by all the people on the internet because it belongs to the internet. It doesn't.
I
belong
say
to
written
it.
By
yeah.
the internet.
Well, let's be
right.
fair.
Take no credit
Cabin
for yourself.
In the Woods is pretty much SCP with a weird.
Well, the problem
twist.
Too is
yeah,
they deal with this on their FAQ. They feel like it'd be kind of out of the spirit of things. So,
I don't know. Well, I mean, they talk about containment videos. They have all these pictures. Where's the video, assholes?
That's true.
Candle Cove. Candle Cove is an amazing piece of creepypasta, unless it's actually real. You guys are giving me this kind of weird look. that has some video representation. None of it's good enough, unless it's real.
Slender Man has Marble Hornets,
Right.
That's true, yeah. It's a good point. Is Slender Man SCP? I mean, I know he was invented on.
I don't think so.
I don't think you can contain or secure him. Like it's.
I think there's a separate section for like anomalous phenomena.
Oh, hold on. Nina's not back yet. I gotta answer the phone. I'm sorry. Excuse me 1 second.
Sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. The thing about Slender Man is that type of energy could technically come together if enough people are. I mean, what is that Egon's always talking about? Collective consciousness.
Yeah.
Or like if everybody's afraid of this.
Egon, he's on a first name basis with Dr. Stegall. That's the big shot here.
We've had dinner with them.
Yeah. We did, yeah.
I just feel a little uncomfortable.
That's a boss.
Guys, we have to go. There's a call. I'm sorry, Cap. I don't know if we're ending this now or what's the deal, but you guys have to go right now.
So you come with?
Well, I mean, there's no reason we have to stop the interview. Do you have some time?
Well, I've set aside the whole evening for this, so.
Do you want to see a bust?
Do you want a bus?
That would be amazing.
We need to go.
Is that okay? I mean, do we need to clear the city or something? Or?
Don't worry about it later.
If anyone's going to blow up the city, it's going to be me.
Okay.
Let's go, Scarab.
This is I'm really stoked, guys. So as long as this is protocol.
Oh, I carry the beach kit.
It's in the car. Get going.
What? No, it's fine.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't trip, Paul.
All right, I'm going to follow you guys in my car. I'm just going to call Nina, make sure she gets the details. She's going to radio head with you guys. Just get going now, okay?
Here, we'll take a walk. Go.
Is it working? Test.
We haven't had anyone sit here since Bjornstad. This is nice.
Let's hit the siren.
It's cozy in here.
Yeah, it might be a problem for recording. We'll run with it.
That's fine.
She's an oldie but a goodie.
Hey guys, look at Ferrari. Oh, look at that Ferrari. That's a GTO.
We are not having the Ecto fun. If you get a Ferrari as a new Ectomobile, I get a motorcycle.
I'm
a
completely
mobile containment unit.
I get a G6 Gen.
I'm just saying, with a motorcycle, little sidecar for Tobin, little helmet.
Well, that'd be a good way to transport around a mobile containment unit instead of a dog. You know?
Not as adorable, though.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, I guess we could, in theory, move on to some of the other topics of conversation. We got horror movies, horror video games.
I hope this is a spider ghost.
Right.
What is a spider?
Turn up your walk.
What's that?
How's that work? Is it a ghost shaped like a spider? What are we talking here?
Yeah, totally a ghost. I mean, Pool loves spiders and ghosts. Spider ghosts especially.
I hate all of these things.
I hate all those things too. I really hope it's not that.
I really hope it is.
I mean,
hey guys, don't get too excited. If this call was about the abandoned hospital. Anyways, good luck.
Sorry, man. This probably isn't gonna be as exciting.
I'm done. I'm not driving now. My hands are off the wheel. I'm done.
Grab the wheel.
I'm done.
Can you
I'm done.
Pull up, Kill the siren. We don't need it.
Turn it off.
Really? Do we have to?
Turn it off.
Nobody lives in that hospital.
Fine, it's on.
There's nobody working there. Nobody lives there. We don't. It's not an emergency.
Does that mean I get to drive through the walls?
No.
No.
But do you own
don't,
it?
So you're gonna kill us? No. No.
You guys let him drive?
Yeah, it's a mistake I regret.
I mean,
constantly.
Like, why? Like, is this a normal position in the vehicle?
I'm
like,
really good at it. Hey, we wouldn't have gotten out of there when we fought Itzcoatl if it wasn't for me.
Anyways, so this, unfortunately,
let's not even talk about Europe.
this hospital, we get called out to on a semi-regular basis. This is, what, once last week, too? And there's nothing out there. It's
never
just
anything.
Yeah, people like to go out there, hang out, and scare the crap out of each other. And it's an empty building.
But even if there was, who cares? Who's calling it in, you know? Who's calling in the abandoned ghost trespassers? That's who.
Hey, do you think we can slide them this time? Just, you know, slide some punk kids? It does make them
still be there.
Easier to escort off the premises, that's true. But that's not our job. We escort ghosts off premises, not punk kids, which is what we're going to run into.
I don't want to escort them. I just think it'd be funny. You know, good times.
I think the problem, too, is that, like, we've had a couple instances where kids will, like, jump out at us because they wanted to call us and, like, pretend to be ghosts.
Well, that's a way to get your ass fucking killed.
Yeah, they don't realize the proton beam that comes out of the neutronal wand is nuclear fire, essentially. It will cut you in half, like the apes at the end of Congo.
So this hospital, it's a place that people go to, like, scare each other. Like, oh, let's go to the spooky hospital and...
Yeah, sometimes urban explorers go out there and they hear some noises and they give us a call. And they're like, hey, there's ghosts. You guys should check it out. And every time we
that's
do,
a raccoon.
Yeah.
One of the topics we actually got for Microsoft is fear tourism. So it's not... No one's taking money for this. But, I mean, it sounds like people are, like, making a sort of a local spooky hangout, this hospital. So let me get my notes here. Sean Red is the guy who requested this, and he says, I'd like a discussion of the strange intersection of urban exploration and creepy or abandoned locations, with movies such as Silent Hill and the Chernobyl Diaries drawing inspiration from real-world locations such as Centralia, Pennsylvania, or Pripyat, Ukraine, respectively. I wonder if society will experience an increasing amount of what I call fear tourism, where people deliberately travel to dangerous or unsettling locations. Thoughts, feelings, or experiences to share?
Oh, yeah, totally.
If possible, I'd like Hex to host this show. Sean, I talked with Hex about that, and he said, basically, lol, what? I know absolutely nothing about that. So I'm sorry. He not only is he too busy.
Apparently, the expert isn't here. Sorry.
he's really inundated with Nerdapalooza pre-production right now, so he couldn't come out. Though he does send his apologies, guys. He didn't really want to be here, but yeah. So he doesn't know anything about that, Sean. And these guys, I guess, know at least a little bit more.
I mean, that's really how a lot of psychokinetic energy gets generated. Is people kind of buy into these ideas, but like it's no different from people visiting Auschwitz, you know, to kind of, you know, really see it for themselves, see how bad something was. It's like we treat areas that are scary more sacred than we ever would something that's, you know, hallowed. Or,
I mean, relevant Fort Christmas.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a place where nothing significant happened, but we definitely busted some stuff there. So, you know, it's just the combination of the energy there. But, you know, I think there's going to be ghost towns where a lot of weird stuff's going to happen. But then there's going to be a lot of just the empty buildings that people find. And then most of it's probably just made up stories. For example, when I went to college at Florida State, there was actually very similar to the place that we're going right now.
Sunnyview.
Yeah, Sunland, yeah.
What's it called?
Sunland. Yeah, so, and I went there a couple times my freshman year because it was the thing to do. You're a freshman, you go out to Sunland, and I will say that obviously not equipped with the expensive equipment that we have now, but I felt weird there. There was some cold air, some weird energy, but...
Dude, I mean, Sunland is
famous. It even made it into that weird Florida book. And I've been there, and it's gone now. It was demolished.
There's apartments there now. Yeah.
I can you fucking believe it? Like that place was. It is so absurd, that place, that it sounds fake.
Exactly.
It is a mental institution for children where they develop shock therapy.
Yup.
And it's like five stories. Like, completely burnt out, closed for years due to malpractice. I remember the whole place is covered in vines, but there's, like, a day room or something where you could, like one of the recreation spaces, and you could see, like, 1970s-era hanging ceiling-mounted television.
The giant, like, CRT monitors.
Yeah, like in institution scenes in 12 Monkeys, things like that. It basically looked like that. And, like, friends of mine who went to FSU were... They talked about going there late at night. There were cultists who hung out there frequently and like did rituals and so on, because like all it's all talks about like hearing children's voices. There's a cellar where all kinds of stuff allegedly happened.
There's a shed in the back of it that's just full of children's toys. I mean, talk about, you know, walking into a creepy environment. I don't like kids. I'm sorry. Creep me out.
So have you guys ever, I mean, I don't know that Orlando has many spaces like that. Like, is this thing somewhat comparable to the place we're going? Does it actually have history or what?
Not like Sunland. Definitely not like St. Augustine. I mean, St. Augustine. No. In
oldest
Florida.
City in America.
Oldest city in America. Ghost tours every hour on the hour.
Doesn't the lighthouse have something going on there?
It does.
Yeah. Well, supposedly. We haven't been called to St. Augustine.
You would think we'd get more calls out there.
Well, I think the idea is that would hurt their economy.
Yeah, at this point, they've literally built the economy around it. If we came and ruined, like, and the Ghostbusters are here. Oh, well, awesome. So is, they took our reason to visit.
That's interesting. The town actually has a ghost-based economy. I never thought about that.
It's pretty much the opposite of what everything we stand for.
Yeah.
Having gone up there and done the ghost tours, it's obviously really, I mean, I haven't done it since, again, I have all of this, now that I'm actually busted to go, so that would be an interesting field trip for us to go up there and,
Well, I mean, is anybody doing, research in you guys' field? Is anybody, like, I mean, certainly,
okay,
it's a hotbed.
I know that they've had the ghost, what are they, ghost hunters, maybe, any of the
catchers,
other,
something,
yeah,
nonsense like that.
But, that's,
cats.
Yeah,
they're all charlatans.
That's the only time I've ever heard you use that word appropriately, Bruce.
Do I use that word often?
No.
But the one time, good job. Used it appropriately. The place that we're heading, though, is nothing. I mean, we go there with our equipment, scan it out. And well, we've never had...
We can't not have... Like, we can't not investigate. It's like, you know... It's never going to be a boy who cried wolf scenario. Like, we have to go.
Tagging back to some of the fear tourism locations that Sean Redd was talking about, Centralia, Pennsylvania, really cool place. I've been wanting to go there for years, long before the Silent Hill film like really brought attention to it. It's are you guys familiar with Centralia?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's in the fire started in the coal mines and it's been burning ever since.
Yeah, it's like it's actually like a fire from hell.
Yeah,
and it's been the basis for a lot more than Silent Hill. There is a Dan Aykroyd film.
Dan Aykroyd, who's that?
He was on Saturday Night Live back at its genesis.
Coneheads.
Right, he was from Coneheads. Man, that movie's so good. Guy who directed Ninja Turtles directed that film. Does anybody remember the name of that movie? I can't fucking remember it now.
I don't actually remember the one.
No, not a clue.
Dan Aykroyd film?
Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, Demi Moore, John Candy, massive cast.
Hold on, no, that sounds like... Nothing but Trouble.
Yeah, Nothing but Trouble.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of things going on in the film. It's a super weird movie, incredible set design. But that was based on Centralia. That was maybe the earliest piece of pop culture based on Centralia. But I've seen pictures of it. I mean, it's just like desolate roads with smoke coming out of the cracks. It looks pretty amazing. I don't know if there's any actual infrastructure for tourism there, though. I think people just kind of go.
Yeah.
It's probably dangerous.
Yeah, probably extremely dangerous. And Pripyat in Ukraine, which is the town outside of Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Totally harmless there.
Right. Yeah, no big. That's...
Earthworms the size of cars.
They actually have organized tourism there to some extent, I believe. Is that a ghost... situation over there? Do you guys know? Is Chernobyl just like? Is it just spooky, or is it like actually?
Well, the problem is that if enough people go, it can become one.
Yeah.
Because of the way the nature of psychokinetic energy. I mean, if enough people believe that there's something ghostly going on, it could be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Huh. I think that may be one of those situations where you're walking around and it's basically like a movie set that naturally happened, and people want to have all of these creepy things going on there. But like LaForge said, you know, that could totally eventually blossom into that. And but I'm sure our European brethren will totally go take care of that.
They can deal with radiation ghosts. That's fine with me.
Yeah, radiation ghosts.
Radiation ghosts, I just picture, like, Scooby-Doo, like a guy wearing a hazmat suit running around.
I think about Johnny Quest, where some actually rather disturbing stuff happened, typically with super science.
Yeah.
I really wish we could get involved with super science. I much prefer that to ghosts, I'm going to be honest. I mean, like, if a super science job opens up, then I'm there. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, at least in the realm of fictional super science, are you guys familiar with Hashima Island? A.K.A. Ghost Island in Japan?
No. I think I've heard of it.
It was featured in an issue of Atomic Robo, but it's a real thing, and it's one of 505 uninhabited islands around Japan. And this one in particular, it was basically a small city island that was... the entire economy was based around a coal mine on this small island that was closed down, but it's like all urban early 20th century... Japanese structures and all that, completely, like, just completely ruined town, and a really modern ghost town. It's been popular amongst urban explorers, but now they've started to actually acknowledge that and sort of opened up parts of it, but it's very difficult because it's hard to actually secure the buildings. I don't know if there's any actual ghosts there, but I suppose there could be some restless spirits of some sort, because it's been discussed as a World Heritage location, but South Korea is against that, because their coal mining facilities used forced Korean and Chinese laborers during World War II.
Well, then there's your negative energy.
Yeah, Japanese ghosts.
Mm. It makes me really want to go to that the suicide forest in Japan.
I was just going to say that.
What's a suicide forest?
It's basically in the shadow of Mount Fuji. There was a very popular romance novel, almost like in the popularity of like Romeo and Juliet in our culture, but the two lovers killed themselves in this forest in Japan. So now, like, when people are wanting to commit suicide,
oh my God.
Most suicides, I guess, in the area, they just drive up to that place, abandon their car, wander off into this huge forest and hang themselves. But the crazy thing is a lot of people aren't sure if they want to kill themselves, so they bring a string, like a colored string, and they'll tie it around a tree when they enter and use it as a way to find their way back out if they change their minds. So it's like a spider web in there, in this massive forest of colored string, and like there's just dead bodies. Like you'll find skeletons and everything.
Yeah, if you pick a string and follow it, it 9 times out of 10 will lead to a body.
That's so crazy. I mean, like, Japan's culture of suicide. Mm. I had no idea that. I mean, like, you know, if it amounts to a bunch of dead college students, I mean, like, I understand that, but I had no idea that. Something like that.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. You know, it's basically like, imagine if in Romeo and Juliet, instead of, you know, in just some random church killing themselves, it happened in a specific location. It would be a hub for suicides.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
So you can actually, ways like into the forest, if you walk down the path, there are even signs people have left that say, you know, it's not worth it. Think about the people who love you. You know, don't kill yourself. Like, trying to get people to stop doing it, but...
I mean, honestly, ghost-wise, it's probably just a film with a bunch of mopey ghosts, if there are any.
Yeah.
Because those are the people in there, you
right.
know? That's the energy.
Jeez.
Sounds like a delightful summer home place.
Yeah, Briggs, you should check that out.
Go out there.
Maybe use the facilities.
Go try it out, Briggs. I mean, I could use some bone furniture. Just go out and...
Well, that's another... You know, that you make another good point. There's the Sedlak Ossuary.
Yeah.
That's another one, where everything's made of human
bones,
remains.
And skeletons. Mm. So, what was that? It was an island in... off the coast of Italy, I want to say?
I don't remember, honestly. Yeah, that's pretty cool. The pictures of it, at least. I don't know. If we go to Europe, we don't go anywhere cool. That's the problem.
Just, you know,
boring.
Paris catacombs.
You say catacombs, I hear sewers, graves. That's not cool to me. That's dirt and poo, and it's the poo of French people.
There's one large sort of, I feel, glaring eyesore in the Department of Haunted Orlando things that you guys have yet to confront, and that is the I-4 Dead Zone. I'm sure you guys must be familiar with it. It's a space on Interstate 4 between Orlando and Daytona where the graves of settlers who died of yellow fever in the 1800s I-4 was built atop their graves. They were supposed to be moved, and they weren't. They were the cause of all kinds of weird disturbances prior to I-4 and following I-4.
Traffic sucks now.
Traffic sucks on I-4 anyway, but it's particularly bad there. There's lots of automotive fatalities. The day that that I-4 opened, a truck jackknifed exactly there. I mean, that seems like you'd be doing a huge service to the entire state if you tackled that.
Well, the problem, the real limitation of our job is if there's not an entity, like a physical entity, or at least, you know, seemingly physical, like, you know, manifests in a bodily form, then there's not really much we could do about it, to be honest. We can measure it and affirm people's fears, and that's about it. And that would probably do more harm than good.
If we go out there and say, yeah, this actually spikes the needle, nothing we can bust, but have fun driving through here, everyone. That may cause more problems.
Just cause panic.
You know what we could do?
It's going to be great.
Okay.
Those bus. Is that what you were going to say?
No.
Just tell me that's
what
you just...
What was it going to say?
Bust a ghost. We're going to ghost bust. That's his plan.
Well, what we do is we install slime sprinklers and get some positive energy out there.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Not only will we have ghost flipping cars, but slime sliding cars into each other.
No, into the area beneath it.
Under I-4.
Yeah. I mean, that would be incredibly expensive. You'd have to run something like that by the mayor, and we only really operate off of calls, too. So, like, if somebody calls us and says, hey, I feel weird in this area, then we can go out. So I guess if you're listening, it's 321-209-2020. If you see it, report it. We'll go out. We'll take some readings, and then we may be asked to do something. But until then, we operate on a case-by-case basis.
I'm saying, I could have, you know, said, let's just go out there with a nuclear accelerator and just overload it. You know, I could have said that, but I didn't.
And we would have stopped you and fired you.
Yeah. And sent you to prison.
We're just about there, guys.
Ready for a boring night.
Yeah.
Well, we've still got two more Microsoft topics to talk about, so I guess this will be the episode break. Stay tuned for part two of this episode of Nerdy Show in just a short time, coming out later this October. I'll probably have some words for you after the break, but thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned for more. We're going to talk about horror movies and horror video games with the Ghostbusters while they check out an abandoned hospital with nothing going on.
Woo! All right.
Hey guys, this is Cap. Stay tuned for part two of my ride-along with the Ghostbusters coming in a couple weeks. Next week, you can look forward to the long-awaited return of Nerdy Show Book Club, where we talk about the books we've been reading, and also Carl Hyacin's Sick Puppy, which we've read along with the community. That's you guys. Last month's support drive was our most successful of all time ever. Nerdy Show and the entire network are listener-supported, and you guys make us happen, and oh my god, we were overwhelmed with the outpouring. In next week's episode, we're going to give shout-outs to the last round of contributors from that and all the new blood from this month so far. If you like what you heard, please support Nerdy Show, go to our main page, and click the red support button on the right-hand side. We need to make at least $300 a month to meet our basic costs for running the network, but we give you all kinds of amazing perks just for contributing any dollar amount, and last month was a doozy, so you guys unlocked a ton of amazing perks, including the unreleased non-canon episode of D&D, outtakes and alternate takes from that very same non-canon D&D episode, an impromptu microsode we recorded that isn't really a microsode in format exactly, but it's 15 minutes of conversation, and we talk about Popeye, Mario, and Yaoi. Also, outtakes from the episode where we interviewed Travis Beecham, including some cut stuff with him. And this month, what we're giving to everybody who donates to the show are outtakes from our Mutant League Football and GTA 5 episode. But we have a stretch goal at 600, and that is quite a doozy. It's 13 minutes from our Nerdy Show Prime episode with the Proto Men, including some spooky talk about the always mysterious Denver airport. We have a preview clip that we'll link to on this episode's page. We hope you guys will be coming out to see us October 18th, 19th, and 20th at Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, where a ton of Nerdy Show's hosts are going to be hosts from all over the network. And we'll have a booth there where you can pick up Nerdy Show merch, including some stuff debuting at Nerdapalooza. and also some choice times where hosts will be congregating around those parts. And for all you listeners out there who aren't local and aren't able to go to Orlando, or even if you aren't able to support the show financially, one thing you can do that we ask everybody who's hearing this to do is we're opening up a Nerdy Show user poll. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what shows you listen to, how you listen to your shows, and basically a bunch of information that we need to make sure that your Nerdy Show experience for all the shows across the network is the best one ever. And that poll is going to be running through the end of the year. So keep an eye peeled. See us at Nerdapalooza if you can. Get excited for Book Club next week. And after that, part two of our Halloween special, my ride along with the Ghostbusters. It's a heck of a ride, guys. Believe me.
Hey bro, thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is made possible by A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by, like, telling a friend and rating and reviewing us on iTunes or making a contribution to our monthly support drives, right? You can subscribe to all our totally tubular Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. Yay!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.